Kristen.
Why, hello, Natalie.
Good morning.
Good morning. You look extra adorable this morning with your hair all piled on your head.
I do have a little pony on the top of my head.
It's a top pony.
It's like a unicorn horn.
That's what it's like.
So I'm so happy to be here with you beautiful morning.
I'm happy to be here with you, and I'm really excited about this topic.
Very excited. So Kristen and I were in a beautiful, juicy yoga class this morning, and as soon as yoga class ended, I looked like that crazy person who, like, as soon as Shavasana was over, like, reached for my phone. Uh-huh. But really what I was doing is I was getting, like, so many hits and downloads that I was like, oh, I have to, like, text myself all the things that are coming in right now because I don't want to forget, because I felt like spirit was just, like, saying this and this and this, and it was, like, coming in so fast, I just had to write it down.
You're like, I'm listening!
I'm listening! Keep it coming! So, one of the things that came in today in this yoga class was this topic, so I'm excited to jam on it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what Spirit was talking to me about today. Spirit was talking about distractions. And so we decided to call this podcast Weapons of Mass Distraction and talk about all of the things that we use or that are used against us, so to speak, in our lives that keep us in a state of distraction. And we were talking in one of our other podcasts about distraction and the ego is the death of Dharma, and that the ego and distraction, I think, are really linked here.
Oh, incredibly so. You know, when we talk about every person has a purpose and their Dharma is inside of them, and that their Dharma is the place where what they love most to do, is of service to the whole world, right? So there's that sweet spot where Dharma is. And if you talk to anyone long enough, they know what their Dharma is. Even if we hide it from ourselves and pretend like, I don't know what I want or what I should be doing. Inside, we really know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes a little moment to go, actually, this is why I'm here on the planet.
Right.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I love most. This is when time stops for me. This is when I'm enjoying and bliss. And even though we all know it, we all have ways to make up the idea that other things are more important.
Yeah, and I think what came in for me so strong today, and this was like, you know how sometimes spirit gives you a little bitch slap?
Oh, yes, I do.
That's what I got today. Where for me, get this, the pursuit of my Dharma is my distraction.
Yeah.
So what I call going after my Dharma, what I call taking steps towards my Dharma, Spirit is saying to me, that's actually you distracting yourself from your Dharma, because you're so busy being busy and hustling and going after something that you are not available for what's being given to you in this moment, to the fact that you don't have to chase something that's already inside of you.
That's right.
You just have to allow it to manifest and open up inside of you.
It's like, I almost hear spirit laughing and going like when I talk about the love team, like I hear them all laughing and being like, do you know who we are?
Yes.
Do you know what we do?
Do you know what we're capable of?
Do you
over
know
here?
How we can bring everybody to your doorstep to carry your message out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that we have the ability? We will do the hustling for you. If you want that job, if you want to be the hustler, you want to drive that car, we will let you drive that all day long.
Right. Don't let us stand in your
way. Don't let us stand in your way if that's bringing you joy.
And don't let us make you wrong.
Right.
You know, if you believe that that is the path, we will not tell you that that is not the path. We are just offering a different one,
right,
if you're willing to switch gears.
And I feel like you know it's your Dharma when it lights you up so much and you feel such an ecstatic joy. But somehow I feel like we got trained that anything that brought us that much joy was like dessert.
Mm-hmm.
It was for later.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? After all the hard stuff is done.
Right, right.
So we
once you've earned it, once you deserve it, once you've worked hard enough.
La, 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 la. Yeah, I mean, so we put off our joy and our bliss. But our joy and our bliss is what we came to give the world. It's what we came to experience. It's how we become the vessel. So it's really just interesting how we'll find these things they keep us out of that zone.
Yeah. And what we were talking about, as soon as we started saying, okay, let's take this concept of weapons of mass distraction. What are these things? And we were saying, well, the mind. Mind is a weapon of distraction. And then we went on to think, like, my phone is a distraction all the time. Facebook is a distraction. Not feeling good enough about myself is a distraction. My to-do list is a distraction.
Yes.
Feeling like you have to lose that extra 2 pounds, or you have to have one more credit on your resume, mm-hmm. or you have to know the right person is all a distraction from the Dharma. Mm-hmm. I think the list goes on and on.
It goes on and on. In fact, I like to now notice when my mind will make up something that will keep me out of bliss or keep me out of heaven or keep me away from my Dharma, and just being able to be like, oh, there's a thought.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a thought that wants to keep you out of knowing who you are.
Mm.
You know? Okay, let's just wrap our arms around that thought.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking a lot about, I've been doing a lot of kind of studying and being really into Kyle Cease lately.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that he was saying, and then I was listening to this Matt Kahn video that was saying mm-hmm. something very similar. It's funny when you start to pick up on like a new spiritual teacher and then you pick up on a different teacher, and they're all the ones that you find are all saying the same thing in that moment,
right.
because
that's
the
message,
you need that you're distracting yourself from getting.
Uh-huh.
And the message that I keep getting is, instead of looking at something and judging it or seeing it as a problem, can you look at the thing inside of you that thinks the thing is a problem? And love and heal that thing, not the problem.
Ooh.
Right? So what is it in me that looks at something and say, I don't like that? Well, instead of trying to change the thing I don't like, can I look at the thing inside of myself that has that judgment or prejudice or ill feeling, and not try to change it, but just try to love it and try to understand it and say, well, you know, why are you so averse to this thing?
Yeah.
But we tend to be so distracted by the thing. I think the same thing comes up in partnership and relationship.
Yeah.
It is so easy to say, well, if this person would change or this thing would change, then I would be in my heaven. But what if the thing that needs to change is your judgment of the thing you're judging?
That's
not
right.
The thing itself.
Right. So, you know, so isn't it interesting then our judgments become those weapons of mass distraction.
Right.
It's our judgments that keep us out of being able to be fully in our Dharma.
Right.
You know?
Right, because it's almost like if we actually think about what Dharma is, it's the purpose of why we're here. And one of the ways that it's interpreted, the word Dharma is interpreted, is being in harmony with all of the universe. And I think about if my Dharma puts me in harmony with the universe, then doesn't that mean that there's not only my individual Dharma, but there's a collective universal Dharma, and it all is connected and it is all the same thing?
Yes.
And so what is going to connect me to all things is everything other than judgment and separation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So anytime we're in competition,
yes.
jealousy, judgment, why is this person doing this, disliking someone,
mm-hmm.
having a prejudice, having a judgment, anytime we're in any of that, even if it's just, why is she wearing that?
Mm-hmm.
Or why did that person get that audition and not me? Anytime we're in that energy, we're distracted from our Dharma.
That's right.
And instead of making wrong the feeling inside of us, or instead of making wrong the thing in the outer world that we want to change or fix to make ourselves feel better, it's just a calling. It's like our Dharma saying to us, oh, hey, I'm right over here. Stop being distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Just get back to me. Get back to your center. Get back to the place inside of you that actually you're running away from for some reason.
That's right.
And why are you running away? Like, why am I so busy running away in distraction? What am I running away from?
Isn't that the question, right? What is it that really wants to talk to me,
mm-hmm.
that really wants my attention, that really has something to communicate, that I keep going out into the other world and finding things to do? that's a very interesting thing about so often working with writers.
Right.
That they find so many things. You know, Stephen Pressfield talks about what is urgent versus what is important.
Mm.
And that we're always putting those urgent things first.
Mm.
So whatever we think is like needs to happen as opposed to the thing that our soul says is important.
Ah.
You know? So like one of the things he says too is the inbox will always both be filled. There's always going to be like emails to return and voicemails to do and errands to run in the world, all these things. But the thing that is important is what we must prioritize.
Which
is really
that.
Our dharma.
That's right. I love that because it so links to my teacher who I've studied with for the last 10 years, Christy Marsden, who's an incredible yoga teacher in LA and Nashville. She's just amazing. She talks about that same thing of us, that the problem is the problem solver. That we spend all of our time saying, okay, I'm going to solve all the problems and then get to what I really want to do. And then the minute you solve one problem, another problem shows up and we actually will get all the way to the end of our lives having accomplished the solving of problem after problem after problem and then go, this is it.
Yes.
It's over. It's done. All I did was solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't end up doing anything that was based in me being the solution on the planet.
Well, I would like to offer a gentle negotiation between our bright, beautiful ball of Purusha-like joy inside of us, you know, and the part of us that is convinced it's the problem solver. Because while we would love to quit the problem solver, we are addicted to it.
Absolutely.
Right? And that problem solver really thinks it's the answer. Sweet, gentle problem solver that wants to feel so important. Peace and blessings, right? But what if in our day, it's just like a gentle negotiation. We say, okay, this first, my heart first, my dharma first, my joy first, silence first, whatever that thing is first.
Mm.
You get to go first. And then whatever that thing is on that to-do list or the problem solver thinks it can do, you'll get a little space as well.
Mm.
But instead of putting the problem solver first and then saving the joy for later, can we do it backwards?
Right.
Right? So later in the day, like a lot of the writers that I'll talk to will say, well, I have to do this and this and this all day long, and then I save writing for the end of the day, but by the time I get there, I'm exhausted.
Mm.
Right? And we're exhausted because our energy gets depleted when we do things all day long that are not life-giving.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever noticed that when you're doing something that is your dharma, that is your bliss, it just actually gives you more energy?
Yes.
You know?
Well, this is where I think it gets really linked and connected to people-pleasing and codependency and not having healthy boundaries.
Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, girl.
You know, because I think we end up saying, well, you know, this person needs this and this person needs this and I will be available to this person having this coming up because that makes me a good person or that makes me a good friend. And then after you've done all of that, it comes time for you and you're depleted and you
nothing
have nothing.
Left.
But what that actually leads to is you resenting the people that you've given to. And so it becomes actually a little bit of a manipulation because it's not their fault that you gave when you didn't want to or when you didn't have it to give.
Yes.
And no one can know that if you don't say that. It's only your own internal compass that can know that. And that's why you and I will often try to remind ourselves of, is it Catherine Ponder who says, me first and then you first?
August Gold.
August Gold, yeah. And so we'll often have to, you know, really truly remind ourselves. And what's fascinating is even spirituality and personal practice can become a distraction. Like I have just been conscious recently that I've taken such a stand that when I wake up in the morning, it's time for like me and the universe, right? So I will take so much pride in the fact that the first hour or hour and a half of my day is just meditation, yoga, chanting, pranayama, journaling, whatever that time is. I really make an effort to not even turn on my phone to look at it, except if I'm using my meditation app. Like I woke up this morning and I had 33 texts on my phone.
Woo!
And I was like, oh, no, I just go right past that and go right into my yoga practice, you know, because I know for myself that if the first thing I do is go into that, then, that's going to set the tone of my whole day. But here's what's fascinating. Here's how it can be the distraction or even the scapegoat is after I've spent my hour with spirit, well, then I just go spend the rest of my day and I stop listening and I hustle and I don't get into self-care and I don't take care of myself and I do too much. And at the end of the day, I'm still depleted. Yeah. So yes, that was a beautiful thing that I took that hour, but then it's almost like you're saying, well, because I took that hour, now I can get away with doing this. It's almost the equivalent of because I worked out so hard in spin class, now I can eat all the junk food.
Donuts all day long.
Right? And it's still having that balance of your dharma doesn't stop. Your dharma doesn't last just for 1 hour of the day. Your dharma isn't something you can come in and out of. Your dharma is who you are. And if you are not in alignment and in attunement with it all day long, then you can meditate or not, and it's not going to keep you in alignment with why you're here.
That's right.
You know, that it's like those tools and those practices are things that can help you get away from the distraction. But if after you're finished with that tool, you go right back into the distraction, then it hasn't really served you in the way it could have.
That's right. And we all know what it feels like when we dive into the distraction, when our soul's telling us something else. You feel like you're bailing on yourself.
Mm.
It's like you're being dishonest.
Yeah.
About why you're here.
Yeah.
You said something really great when we were leaving yoga this morning, which was you were saying, I'm going to quote you, that all of this growth in your life happened, all this expansion from you creating time to get quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, and then I just got into busyness, right?
That's right, yeah.
And I, all the alarm bells were going off in my body because that, I so know that. I feel like that's what happened to me before Rock of Ages. I had, I feel like, a year and a half of all of the silence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like a monk on the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, in the most probably deepest, like, love affair with the divine and self-care and quietness that felt like the most than ever. And then after the show took off, I just went into insane busyness.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you forgot what got you here in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
I think it's so powerful that many of us, especially artists, are trying to get our careers to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that once we've reached that certain level, we'll slow down. But I promise, in my experience, then every time you reach the next level, you feel the need to speed up because it's like there's momentum and there's heat and I don't want to lose it because it feels so good. So it actually becomes the new addiction to, no matter how fast you're going, when things start coming in, I have to go faster, I have to go harder, I have to go stronger, I can't lose anything. You know, if I stop hustling, I'm going to become irrelevant, people are going to stop knowing who I am. And I just noticed this come up in me, that when you have more, it doesn't cause you to relax. It causes you to think you have to be more to hold as much as you're holding. When really, it was from me being less, you know, or doing less and trusting it was enough, that more came.
That allowed life to do more.
And so if I want to hold on to more,
mm-hmm.
I have to keep being less, so that I can continue expanding.
That's
that we
right.
actually don't expand when we're in the hustle. We do not expand when we're in distraction.
Mm-hmm.
We actually get tight, we get scared, and we get sick.
Yes, and anxious as well.
Mm.
You know, I can notice inside of me where I can get such an addiction to being the doer and to being... I'm going to get this done and this done and this done, that when life causes me to take space, that I can start to feel that sense of I'm not doing enough come up, and then I'll know exactly what it is, and I'll be like, oh, you sweet baby ego.
Mm.
You think that's your role?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Your role right now is to relax.
Yeah.
Your role right now is to sleep. Your role right now is to do, like, to be 100% present with what's in front of you.
And that our mind, in the same way we were talking about that the number one distraction is separation,
mm-hmm.
that our mind will tell us that rest is separate from having our dreams come true.
Woo!
When really, rest is so deeply linked to all of our dreams coming true. I think that, you know, some of you know I've been dealing with a little bit of a neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 2 days, I ended up going and getting cortisone shots.
Mm-hmm.
And although that helped the pain so much, all of a sudden there was all these symptoms from having the shots. And it was almost like my body was saying, don't you know I gave you the pain for a reason? So now you're trying to get out of the pain, so we have to give you something else. Because really the deep message is, Natalie, can you just get still? Can you just rest? Can you stop working out and going a mile a minute? Can you just stop? And it was so funny because really just in the last 2 days, I just stopped. I cleared my schedule entirely. I really like laid on my couch and did nothing.
Yeah.
And then I would feel myself wanting to make phone calls and do lots of things and like go back to nothing. And I had to so do nothing that I had to put on like really mindless television.
Mm-hmm.
And just let myself just really do nothing. Well, what was so fascinating is the combination of 2 days of actually nothingness and then that yoga class this morning. It was like there was so much information coming in.
Yeah.
That had been trying to get to me.
Yeah.
But I was so busy, I was not receiving any
That's
of it.
Right.
And in the 1 hour of yoga class today, what I learned, what I came to, I got to the point where we were in Shavasana and I was crying, thanking spirit for the pain that I've been in. Genuinely. Not from like that spiritual place,
right,
I should be grateful for my pain because
right,
it's teaching me something. Genuinely so connected to why this pain has been here and what it was here to teach me and how deeply I am changed from this pain, that it's like, thank goodness I was forced to stop because I was going so fast and so distracted that it needed to come up into my life as an injury, as an illness, to make me listen.
Oh, it's so good. And it's the truth. And remember that Barbara Spanny book that we were listening to, Sacred Success?
Yeah.
And she talks about one of the most essential things in Sacred Success is a period of surrender, right? A period of stopping the busyness, stopping the work, and really getting into receptive zone. And she talks about in that book about how she had studied seven-figure women, like women who were millionaires who had crossed over the zone. And she always hit, like, she was a publishing success and she'd always got her books published, and for some reason that book wouldn't sell. And she could feel like spirit being like, nope, and like she like sent her away to be with her book, just to be with it and to read it. And to get to a deeper meaning that was behind it that wanted to come up. So we can't really hear the messages that the universe wants to give until we carve out that time.
It's almost like the deeper we go in the Dharma, the stiller the voice.
That's right.
Right? So like the more we connect to what we're really here for,
yes,
the more we take a stand,
yeah,
for who we are here to be,
yeah,
the stiller we have to get.
Do you remember I was trying to quote a book a few podcasts ago, like three or four podcasts ago, maybe five, and I was trying to think of this book that was written called Leadership Through Stillness, and it's called Lead Yourself First. And it's about going into periods of time of intense stillness so that you can get the deep downloads.
Wow.
So that you know how to lead yourself, and then therefore you can be a light to the world.
Right.
Right? But you can't do that until you really carve out that space, which means a whole lot of trust.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, if we think of all things are connected, and if we think of ourselves as put here on the planet with a dharma to give the world, and that we're already connected to all things, all resources, won't the universe, if it wants that message into the world, create the avenues like nobody's business to get that message when we have created the most, I want to say, clear channel of listening? But that's brave and courageous.
Do you know what it kind of reminds me of? It's like, if you want, like I am held to film a TV show in the next couple of weeks. And it's like for that TV show to happen for sure and for me to be on it for sure, those dates have to be held,
yeah.
right? Which means I have to say, I am available for this and I'm clearing my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the dates that they're holding me for. And so I'm not putting a single thing during that time because I know
yes.
that I'm holding myself for that time.
Yes.
So it's like, if we want to hold ourselves for our Dharma, why are we filling ourselves and our schedules with anything else?
Anything else. And our ego will tell us we need those other things.
Right.
Right.
But those things are going to contribute to getting to the Dharma.
Right.
But again, it's that idea of separation. Where do you think your Dharma is?
Yeah.
Do you think it's like out in some television show or out in some script or out in some piece of music? It's in you.
Well,
you are it.
And I always just think of how people who think that they have to like go out and hustle to make money.
Mm.
And like the thing that I know is that money doesn't come from work. It comes from the divine.
Mm.
And the divine will pay us for getting still and silent.
And it pays us to be ourselves.
To be ourselves, to
and
do
we,
our Dharma.
If we don't know ourselves, we can't be ourselves.
That's right.
You know, if we're distracted trying to be what we think the world wants, then we won't get paid for being what we really are.
That's exactly right.
Do you remember I sent you this cool Abraham Hicks quote this week?
Yes, and can we, right before you say that,
yes,
I want to talk about how, can we talk about how we can use family as a major distraction.
Oh.
That just like hit really hardcore.
Oh. See, there was a reason I did not want to go into that conversation. I'm like, let's go to a phone now.
But it just came in so heavily about like how often what we saw modeled in our families, right, was our people in our family sacrificing what they really wanted and themselves for this idea of being a good person
yes.
or, you
yeah.
know what I mean, sacrifice, you know, all of these things.
Yeah.
So we didn't see it modeled for us, so we didn't know how to do it. But then how that card can often get played.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. It's like we are told what a good boy and girl is and what that looks like and what you need to do to be that.
Yeah.
But there's something inside our soul that wants to be something else.
That's right.
You know, we're not concerned with being good. We're concerned with being whole. We're not concerned with being appropriate. We're concerned with being truthful.
That's right.
You know, we're not concerned with doing the right thing. We're concerned with being authentic. And that's truly where our Dharma lives and wants to come through. So sometimes it will take disappointing the world's model. And we get to know that's okay because part of the collective Dharma is creating a new model.
That's exactly right. High five
that's
for you.
That's the one.
All right.
All right.
Time.
Well, here's what Abraham Hicks said that I just loved that I sent you this week. We would like you to release the word achieve or earn from your vocabulary and from your understanding altogether. And we would like you to replace these words with the word allow. You're wanting to allow your well-being, not achieve it. It's not something you need to earn. All you have to do is decide what it is you would like to experience and then allow it in order to achieve it. This isn't something you have to struggle or try for. You are all worthy beings and you are deserving of your well-being.
So we just have to allow our Dharma to be,
mm-hmm.
to receive it.
Yeah. It's not something to get.
Mm-mm.
It's not something to do, you know, and I think the calling and like what we would offer as like the own work of this podcast is when you notice yourself in distraction, what part of your well-being is speaking to you and why are you resistant to hearing that? And just ask yourself with love, ooh, there's a place in me that doesn't want to face something right now. Oh, there's a place in me that thinks it has to work really hard right now. Oh, there's a place in me that feels really scared it's going to get left behind now. How can I just love and comfort that place inside of me and then watch how I no longer have a need for the distraction?
Mmm. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing the best job ever.
Everyone's doing such a beautiful job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that behind that distraction, there's always a part of us that just wants to be loved and to be attended.
Yeah.
You know, I have a new kitty cat.
You do, Coco.
Coco. And Coco now loves to jump into my lap during meditation. She loves to jump, just to meditate with me. And she purrs, and her purrs are like ohms. Right? So she like sits on my lap and likes to be stroked during meditation. as the words were coming out of my mouth, I like was pausing. I'm like, this is going to sound
exactly the way we want it to.
Okay, good. But this morning, I had gotten up, and usually in my morning practice, as I'm like preparing, I like I'll play a little classical music. So the classical music started, and she came out, and she just like yelled at me. She just gave me I want all the stroking right now.
Ah,
I want all the stroking and all the love and all the kisses right now.
Yep.
It is time. And I was like, you are a girl who knows what she wants, and you are not afraid to ask for it. And I appreciate that, because I want that in myself, is to be able to ask for what I want.
That's right.
And I appreciate it. But I was like, it's so funny. I was like, I was thinking she had such insistence because I had been really good with giving her all the loves and cuddles and morning times. And yet yesterday I did not. So she came in this morning being like, all right, now is the time.
Now is the time.
And I was thinking of how our dharma is like that inside of us, right? Our dharma just wants us to get still and be present with it, right? That's all Coco Kitty wants. She wants me to be still and cuddle with her and be present with her, which is what our dharma wants. And so it'll be like, will you stop?
Yeah.
And just be with me.
Yeah.
And let me be with you because I just want to love you.
Yeah.
Right?
And that everything that you are seeking outside of yourself, I actually have for you.
Yeah.
All the ways you're distracting yourself trying to get somewhere, it's already here.
I got it.
But I need you to have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to beat my way in order to allow for that. Allowing
is the name of the game. So if distraction is how we run from our dharma, allowing is how we embrace it, how we hold it, how we stroke it.
How we stroke it. All right, hashtag stroke your dharma.
This is how we stroke it. Oh, I'm sorry, friends.
But we're not.
Sorry, not sorry. Can't help ourselves.
Have the most beautiful week this week, just being in the noticing and allowing of your process of learning where you're distracted, and being really gentle with yourself as you draw yourself back. If we start noticing the distraction and then allowing that to be a source of frustration or annoyance with ourselves, then know that that's just the next distraction. The ego is just moving the distraction to a different place. Know that anything that is not still and quiet and loving is distraction.
You know, something Elizabeth Gilbert says is that the voice of the ego will sound like the cruel big sister who's wagging her finger at you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that the voice of the divine always sounds like grace, you know? Isn't that pretty?
Yeah. I would so much rather spend time with Grace than
the wagging big finger. Sister. Yeah, she's no fun.
She's no fun.
She needs to get on the dance
floor.
She
needs to be stroked. Oh, I love it.
Go full circle.
All right, well, with that.
Have a beautiful day.
It's starting to get kinky. We better sign off.
I know. Oh, just go stroke your dharma.
All right, if you loved this podcast, please share it with someone and come and follow us on the Create Facebook page, or come play with us at Twitter and Instagram at the Create Playgroup. Thank you so much for who you are and the dharma that you bring to this planet.
We love you. You're beautiful. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!